हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Narayana Rishi concluded, "Thus the ancient saints who travel in the upper heavens distilled this nectarian and confidential essence of all the Vedas and Puranas. And as you wander the earth at will, my dear son of Brahma, you should faithfully meditate on these instructions concerning the science of the self, which burn up the material desires of all men." Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, "Since the Brahmanas were born in the very beginning, they were the best, purva jatahi. They wandered about with no attachments, vyoma yanahi. They had generous minds, mahatma bihi. The best unattached sages with generous minds took out the essence completely, sam udari taha, from the shrutis studied under a guru. This shows their qualification. Samam naya indicates scripture in general. Puranas indicate itihasas also. This indicates karma and upasana. Upanishads indicate jnana in works like Chandogya and Bhagavad Gita. Purana is placed in the middle of the compound to indicate the equality of Puranas with Vedas." All right, so then, already mentioned. Okay. So samam naya, okay, scripture in general. So it means all scripture. And then Veda, we know, mean Veda. Puranas then includes itihasas. This also indicates karma, upasana, worship, all these different things. So all those aspects are then counted in the Puranic, because that means the practical, what people did, how they applied, right? And then Chandogya, and Jnana then means all your Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, you know, then for Vedanta Sutra, all these aspects that are dealing in the Nyaya aspect.
So now it is like a Shruti.
Yes. Purana would be, but this is the knowledge that's there in the Puranas is there in the Veda. It's just been brought out so that you catch what it is. See, the Smriti is when those personalities that have realization in the Shruti, when they discuss it and explain it to somebody,
yes,
then you get the Smriti.
Yes.
So it's like, if you have Shruti or the Veda with purports, that would be the Smriti.
Yes. Yes.
Right, Todd? Does that make sense? That's what's going on, because all these are great realized personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not just anybody speaking on the street, right? You know, it's just, you know, does that make sense? You know, this wasn't like picked up from a conversation in the the cat and crocodile pub, right? You know, it was. So, yeah. And it's placed in the middle to indicate equality of the Puranas with the Vedas, because the Veda is there, but then the point is it has to be applied. That's going to be your Puranas. Right? So the Purana is the application of these things. Yad Brahmana Itihasan Puranani. Scripture consists of Brahmanas, Itihasas, and Puranas. Swadhyayo Padesha Shruti. Yeah. Okay. Scripture consists of brahmanas, itihasas, and puranas. Right? Because brahmanas are how you apply. The Veda itself is the Samhita. But when you apply it, that's the brahmanas. Right? And then itihasas are specific details of individuals following. And puranas are a general, you know, a wider range of people who are following. Yeah? Swadhyayo Paresha Shruti. Everyone is qualified for these works, as in the case of the Lord's name, because of the strength of the rule, Varshasu Ratakaro Gnin Ada Dhite. The carpenter should light the sacrificial fires in the monsoon season. The rasa of the words refers to conclusion, which is filled with bhakti to the Lord. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam. Drink the rasa of Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam 113. The rasas of three types, right? Now, for a carpenter, now, when it, in rainy season, not a whole lot's happening, right? Because people are just inside, they're not thinking of stuff, they're not doing, they're probably, in the general rule, they'd be following Chaturmas, so you're not going to be looking at so much improving your house. And they can't go out, move around and that. You can do some work, but it all has to be stuff that's inside, so you can't go out, purchase things, get things, take things here and there, right? So it's just that time when not a whole lot's happening. So, now in the rest of the year, then is there carpentry work going to be going on? Yes, that's the main season. So now during this season, how much focus will they be able to put onto doing yagyas? Not much, because they're so busy in their work. So then in the rainy season, that's the time then when the carpenter should be doing this. You understand? So Krishna works it out for everybody. Now that's the difference. The Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, like this, they can always be doing. Now the Brahmins, that's all they do all day. The Kshatriyas will do that in the morning for, you know, and we see like Krishna and Dwarka, how it takes up much more time. The Vaishyas will also do, but less time. Right? In other words, yeah. So everybody's going to do this. Means that the Brahmins will be up early, they'll be doing the sadhana, then they'll be doing their own yagyas, then the other yagyas, and all these kind of things. The Kshatriya will get up early also, then perform his sadhana, his yagyas, and then be at court early. Right? The Vaishya will also be up, and then he'll do whatever he's doing. Right? But main things that won't affect his work. Right? If he goes to office at 9, he'll finish all that by 9. If he goes at 7, he'll finish before. So how much will be done, you don't know, but he'll do. Right? Kshatriya can expect more Brahmins than more than that. And then the Shudras, at the time when their work's going on, they're not going to be focused on these. They're going to be looking at their maintenance. They're not going to do more sadhana than that. But in these off times, then that's the time when they can do. Yes.
Regarding the previous point of Vedas, Vedas are spoken by Krishna, and the Brahmanas are also this application of Samhita, that is also spoken by Krishna?
No, not necessarily. They're generally discussions and things like that. Brahmanas, though, that is part of the whole Vedic thing. No, but they're generally most of them, even the Vedas are discussions. But it's just what we're saying is that it's all Shruti. They're discussions. Because without context, generally you don't understand or remember anything. But based on those conversations, then great personalities then discuss with others what's being discussed in the Veda. That's then given as Smriti. I mean, yes, Smriti.
Itihasas and Puranas.
Yeah, Itihas, Purana, and anything that's not the four Vedas with the Brahmanas, Aranyakas, and Upanishads. But when it mentions, if you say Upanishads, then it means Upanishads and all the things that deal with jnana. When you say Purana, it includes anything that's dealing with the histories and everything else like that. So you don't have to mention all the scriptures. Right? You can say Veda, you can say Purana, you know, you can say, you know, as I say, the, what do you call it? Upanishad. Then you know you've covered. The Veda means this Brahman is everything. So, all the activities that are there. Then you have all the different, the knowledge that's there. Then you have the practice of that. Does that make sense? So they're trying to show is that Even though they may, in one place, they only mention one of them or a particular thing, it doesn't mean that the others aren't there. Because sometimes they'll say, oh, it doesn't mention it, it's not there. But it's a matter of, it means it's included.
Yes.
Like if I say sweet rice, does that mean there's no milk? But if you're in South India, it doesn't have milk. Oh, they put the milk in something else, like to make a lassi. It means that goes into the rice as yogurt. With the sweet, you can have the rice and just put jaggery and gur. I mean, gur and ghee.
That's
called a pongal.
Told pongal, then I said not pongal, sweet pongal. There is another pongal. So I.
Yes, like whatever recipe you have, then someone else, you know, is sounding, that's not South Indian. That's not how you do it. Now you put this in. No, you don't.
Same as Italians and their pizzas.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. They're really... Anything that's not the... Basically, it's like this. If your mother didn't cook it, or you know, it means another one of the women in your family didn't cook it, it's not from that region. Yeah, no, it's just there. But they'll say, that's not Italian. They should just say, that's not how my mom cooked it. That's all. That would be true. Then no one can argue with that. But they'll say, that's not Italian.
But it is included, like the prana.
Yes, but it's included. Oh, yes, okay. So then using this principle, when you say, well, your mother, that means Italian. Just like here, when you say prana, it includes the itihas and the niti and all those things like that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, good point. Everyone is... Oh, okay. Rasas of three types. In single statements, in connected statements, and in whole sections of a work. The first two types have been shown. The last is in six or seven parts. Upa, kramo, pasham, harav, abhyasho, purvata, falam. Artavado, papati, chalingam, tat parya, nirnaye. Initial statement, conclusion, repetition, uniqueness of the subject, gain from the object, praise of the object, and proof are the topics used to discern the meaning of a passage. Right? Yeah, so this is called Tatparya Lingas. Right? It means that there's these six aspects that are, that's how you understand what is there. The topic is declared by the verses under discussion by deducing one meaning of the famous and lesser-known shrutis, revealing the meaning of the pranava, and explaining topics like creation and destruction, which are present from the beginning to the end of the Vedas. Thus, the meaning of the first prayer, starting with Jaya Jaya, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all powers, verse 14. Which is upa krama, and the last verse starting with Dyu Patyayaha. The devas cannot reach the end of your glories, verse 41, which is the upa samhara, are the same. Right? So it means he's perfectly full in all, and his glories cannot be reached by the demigods. So you can see by the first and the last, that means the initial statement, the conclusion. Then that is, you know, is the meaning of the passage, the topic, right? Saya ajaya twajam. The jiva contacts matter by maya, verse 38. And other verses are the abhyasa, repetition. Anu charain nigamaha. The Vedas confirm this, verse 41. And shrutayas twaihi falanti. The Vedas find success in you. Right, so then that means the uniqueness of it, and then the gain. Na padi lasanti kechit. Some do not care for liberation. Verse 21, show the fuller result. Tvam akarana swarat. You are without material senses and independent. Verse 28 shows artavad, praise. Dritaya iva svashan ashu brita. They are like bellows breathing if they are not devotees. Verse 17 shows upapati, proof. All of this indicates Bhagavan alone, which means Krishna according to previous explanations. Right, so all what they're doing, they're all talking about Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right, that so that's the topmost is Bhagavan, nothing else. Mm-hmm. All other things are seen in connection. So the Brahman, Paramatma, material creation, everything is all seen in connection with the Supreme Lord. And then, and previously it was defined that that means Krishna.
For all the books you can apply the Tatparya.
Yeah, they apply everywhere. Yeah, Panchanga Nyaya and Tatparya Linga, these are how you present something. That's going to be the Panchanga Nyaya. Mm-hmm. But which aspect you're trying to bring out, that will be your Tatparya Linga. Mm-hmm. Right? And then each one of them may have its unique little aspect that gives it its specific position. Like that.
This is, Maharaj, applied in the whole conversation of the Vedas.
Yeah, whole conversation. It can be applied to the whole scripture. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I think the opening verse to, you know, Bhagavatam is about the Lord. And the last one is about Sankirtan. You know, so it's all about the Lord, glorifying the Lord, remembering the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, sages like Narada and the Kumaras travel throughout the universe to educate the conditioned souls that their business in the world is not that of sense gratification, but of reinstating themselves in the original position of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in several places that the living entities are like sparks of the fire, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like the fire itself. If the sparks somehow or other fall out of the fire, they lose their natural illumination. Thus it is ascertained that the living entities come into this material world exactly as sparks fall from a great fire. Right? Because when it goes out, you still have that little bit of you know, the fire that's there. But it's just not illuminating. So the jiva will be there in the material world. They just don't have their natural nature of service to Krishna. Right? The living entity wants to imitate Krishna and tries to lord it over material nature in order to enjoy sense gratification. Thus he forgets his original position, and his illuminating power, his spiritual identity, is extinguished. However, if a living entity takes to Krishna consciousness, he is reinstated in his original position. To preach this process of devotional service, sages and saints like Narada and the Kumaras travel all over the universe, educating people and increasing their disciples. Their aim is that all the conditioned souls may be educated to revive their original consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, and thus gain relief from the miserable conditions of material life. Right? So that's the goal. So that's what we were saying, because the question was asked, but what is it that they're doing that's different? Why are they successful? Because of this. Their aim is that all conditioned souls may be educated. But we'll look at, okay, they're traveling all over the universe, you know, and increasing disciples. So how is it that they're doing it, you know, that makes them successful? You know, it's like, you know, how do they travel? You know, do they travel by, you know, train or bus, or do they, you know, flying carpet, or, you know, do they go first class or business, or, you know, they take chartered flights so they don't have to worry about it, so there's no karmis on the plane, so just all the sadhus get together and charter the flight, and then they all go. You know, what is it that they're doing that makes their preaching so successful? Right? Does that make sense? So, it's given right here. Their aim is that all the conditioned souls may be educated to revive their original consciousness. So that's why they're educating people, so they may be educated to revive their Krishna consciousness. Right? Not educating them how to travel nicely or to make this. Yeah. or Krishna consciousness, and thus gain relief from the miserable conditions of material life. Does that make sense? So that's done. And that always applies? Okay. Yes? Okay. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Sri Narayana Rishi ordered him in this way, the self-possessed sage Narada, whose vow is as heroic as a warrior's, accepted the command with firm faith. Right? So just as the heroes are on the battlefield and have that determination there, so then these great sages, then they have that same determination as a warrior, but committed to their vows and their understanding, their practices. So it's the same thing. That's why you see there's so much in common there. Like that, because the determination is gained is based on their vows, their understanding that what should be done, right? Does that make sense? Now, if we're not functioning in that, then you'll see is that many can have a very strong vow as long as they get a benefit from it, right? You know, to do business, to do something, then we may have that kind of determination, right? But it's only because you're making profit. When you're not making profit, they may or may not. If they have that faith in that profit, they may keep on going. But it's about that aspect. But the principle is correct, that you have faith in something higher. Right? Because profit is higher than the mechanics of business. Right? So it's there. But you see is that the king is doing all that, making the kingdom great and doing all those things, and then what's going to happen when his son is of age? He's going to leave it all. He's not going to take part of it with him. So that's going to be very different than others who are functioning on the material platform, or more materialistic platform of just gain. Like that, because he'll work to see that the kingdom is very prosperous, the people are peaceful and everything, but then he'll leave it to the next administration. Right? Because it was for the people. That's why it's all left. Right? But when we're doing for ourselves, then we can be very fire, very enthusiastic. But it's for us. So if we go, it goes with us.
Yes.
Right? At least that's our plan. But somehow the Yamadutas really just don't want to drag your house along with you. You know? Going to hell, at least to bring the house, you can sit in the jacuzzi or something, like that.
I don't like packages. They don't like any extra baggage.
No, they don't seem to be interested in any extra baggage.
Low cost. Low cost travel.
Yeah, yeah. But the funny point is you already had to invest it before. You know, so if you want the boat to go across the Vaitarani, you already had to, done the things with the gold coins before that. Yeah, so you have to give the cow, yeah. Yeah. So all these things, it all has to be, it's all...
well planned.
Yeah, it's all well planned. So.
Maharaj, here self-possessed sage, what does he
say? Self-possessed.
Sage, what does he mean?
He possesses himself. Means no one else possesses him. He's independent. Means he's the only one in the body. He doesn't have all these subtle bodies of so many other people, family and friends and all that. Like, can a husband say he's self-possessed?
He can try,
yeah. It's in other words, it's cute, right? The right situation. Right? But the sage is self-possessed, as no one else possesses. No? Yeah. Okay. Sorry? Okay, so we did that. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, as Sri Narad Muni is a Naishtika Brahmachari, there are four types of Brahmacharis. The first is called Savitra, which refers to a Brahmachari who, after initiation and the sacred thread ceremony, must observe at least 3 days of celibacy. Like that. Nowadays, I've heard that they only practice one. In a lot of groups, when they do the...
The standards are reducing day by day in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, yeah. But at least for the ceremony, you know, come on.
You have to go a little far and come back.
Yeah, yeah, like that. And they do the thing and then you graduate. I've even seen where, because they haven't necessarily done it, that at least in South India, it's part of the wedding.
Yeah.
Is that the wedding ceremony is there, and then he becomes, I'm going to be a brahmachari, and then he goes walking off, and then the father-in-law has to come after him and, you know, talk and try to get. And somehow now this part of the ceremony seems to be the most popular. Everybody's there for that. All the other parts are off drinking tea, right? You know, excuse me. Sorry. South Indians. Coffee. Sorry. Yeah. So, but for that part of the ceremony, they're all there because he goes outside. Everyone's outside and that, and then they come back and there's music and the whole thing like that. You know, so. So then, you know, that's his brahmacharya. That was it. So it was as long as that lasted. So, you know, it's like ceremony, what, 10, 15, 20 minutes like that. So, he hasn't already done. But, yeah.
Because
so.
Other parts you get to see in any other marriage.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, that's, yeah, everything. Because when they actually get to the real, actual part of them, that's the marriage, nobody's there. And the couple is there. The priests are there. The parents may or may not be there. And, I mean, everybody else is there, but not there. They're all just talking and this. And, yeah.
Old people are already planning for the next marriage.
Yeah, yeah. That they're already discussing. They're seeing who's there and all that. Yeah, that's a good point. They're already working and all that. So it's all happening. Yeah. Okay. So that is the Savitra, right? which refers to a brahmachari who, after initiation in the sacred thread ceremony, must observe at least 3 days of celibacy. So he has to, you know, just follow the principles, you know, 20 hours of how a brahmachari lives, so they can understand what it is and get, you know, even if it's just a little bit of a taste of it, but to something like that, because the whole idea is that vanaprastha means you have to fall back on that experience. Mm. So if you haven't had that, if there hasn't been a brahmachari experience, how at vanaprastha do you fall back on that? Right. The next is called prajapatya, which refers to a brahmachari who strictly observes celibacy for at least 1 year after initiation. Right? Then he gets more of a solid position. The next is called Brahma Brahmachari, which refers to a brahmachari who observes celibacy from the time of initiation up to the time of the completion of a study of the Vedic literature. Mm-hmm. The next stage is called Naistika, which refers to a brahmachari who is celibate throughout his whole life. Out of these, the first three are Upakurvana, which means that the brahmachari may marry later. Right? So we hear of Upakurvana and Naistika.
Yes.
So Naistika, there's one, but Upakurvana has these three.
The third type we know is the regular Gurukul thing.
Yes, yes.
The second one, does it stay with the guru, or what is the...
That is not specific here, but I would expect they would, you know, to go get some training and all that. Because that would mean, yeah, then they, let's say, in that time they would finish their vow, but not their studies. Like it says that there's different kinds of brahmacharis. Another way is that one who finishes the vow but not the studies, so one who finishes the studies but not the vow. Like let's say it's 12-year vow is the standard brahmacharya. So then he finishes the Veda in 8 years, so he graduates. So he didn't finish the 4 years of the vow of you know, living in the ashram. But then let's say someone else, he's there 12 years, he finishes the 12 years, but he didn't finish studying the Veda. Right? And then there's those who have done both. So even if he finishes in 8 years, he stays for the two, then the next four, or he finishes in whatever. But the idea is that whatever is the vow, you do that, and that's considered. So we can see from here that's a principle also, is even just you have the aspect of brahmacharya. Just generally when we think someone becomes a brahmachari, the connotation is just naistika. And so then it makes it very difficult for people to focus or to get for any particular length of time or anything. But if that understanding of the Upakurvana is there, then someone takes up the brahmachari practice and then he does it for X amount of time. Right? So here, here you see is not a particular course. So if you have a course of study, they should be brahmachari for that much. You know, or at least then here, the 1 year. You know, probably for the temple program, the 3 day may not be okay over Diwali or something, you know, yeah. Then they come and stay at the temple. But
Maharaj, so does individual who decides whether he wants to be one of the four.
Individual, but yeah, but yes, but it's yeah, but so therefore, then if you have it that let's say there's a brahmachari training and course and it's for let's say 3 years or something, then they know for 3 years to get it together and be that, and then you just tell them, hey, you got 3 years, or you got 2 years, you got 1 year, it's only 6 months, or then they know that they are going to get through it. Then after that, then they can decide, okay, now do we want to continue this, or do we want to consider marriage, or this and that. Because then you get some training, you get focus and all that, but otherwise if it just seems it's forever, then the problem comes is that then they don't focus at any of the time. Right? So the Vedic system, so they would focus. As long as they're nice sthika, they'll be focused all the way through. That's how they're able to continue on. But for those who wouldn't be able to do that, therefore the upakuvana that they have there, a set amount of time. And then after that, like, someone may think like that as an upakuvana, but he's also in this, the what is it, the Brahma? Yeah, the third type. Then having completed his studies, then he may decide, I want to remain. And then he'll become a naisthika brahmachari. But up to that point, these first three are always called upakuvana. Right? So even if someone is going to be a naisthika, they would be considered up to that point, within the, but once they get to that point and then commit to, then now they're called naisthika. Does that make sense? So that kind of, it's tradition, and it works. That's why it's the way it is. Then it makes the focus much more, much better. Does that make sense? So that's then how these things work. And so for the naisthika, for the brahmachari to finish his education, then graduate, then get married, that's not he fell down from being a brahmachari. Right? So that's the thing, is then it's a natural just next step. Then he goes from brahmachari into grihastha. Right? But this thing where he's just a brahmachari and then he can't make it as a brahmachari, so he fell down and so then he got married, then that's using only one of these. So you're not using the two types. So that's the whole point. Is both types are used, then it works. And of this, we would see a standard is this brahmachari. That's how the Gurukul would work. Like that. So that's what's recommended. So then whatever is the course of study. Means in the Gurukul, of course, they go in at 5, then they're not going to get married when they're 8. So like that. So they're going to go on. But let's say they come later, then, at least then it's good they spend at least a year, but if not a particular course of study, let's say they're going to, study the Shastra Chakshus or something, then they stay that 3 years, they study it, and things like that. So you have some form that is done. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is there a gradation like Savita can also become, after 3 days he can?
He can, why not? Well, no. Once he's a savi, that's it. Finish one. 3 days, he doesn't get a fourth day. Like that. It's just not allowed. Right? Of course. Right? After you get one Italy, can you get another one? When you finish it? But what if you don't want another one? Do we force you to take another one? It's natural. The Vedic system is very natural. But we have to understand how that naturalness works. Okay?
Yeah. Mark, this principle that everybody has to know their limitations, or at least how much they can stretch, it applies to everybody, not only to the brahmacharis. For them, that's official. That's the difference. Like, if we speak about the girls.
When they get married.
Yeah, but, they want to study something.
Study. Basically, generally, they would be studying up to the time they get married. Mm-hmm. So those who are more into study, then they get married later, and those who are not would get married younger. Like that. It just depends upon them when they get involved, because it's really hard to study when, the kids are running around and this and that. It makes it difficult. That's why you see is the main... means grihasthas are always studying, but they have to work it around what's going on. But you see, brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis can actually schedule their study. Like that. That's what makes it easy. Grihasthas then means not that they can't create a schedule, but they have to create the schedule around their grihastha life. Yeah, you understand. Well, the brahmachari is just part of the schedule. The vanaprastha is just part of their schedule. And there's, of course, considerations. Okay, the time when you go begging or you go out for sankirtan or different things like that. Then you work it in, but that's the normal thing, is the morning and evening. But a grihastha can't guarantee that morning and evening they can study. You know, like that. So like that. But the others basically can, because you don't have to. So it's just a matter of you have that determination. So the girls then, they would be, you know. So in other words, here when it says 3 days, we're not talking about a young kid. Mm. 3 days, that would mean somebody who's older. Mm. So he's going to get married. So at least then he's practiced the, you know, he's been a Savitra Brahmachari. At least 3 days, he went through the Savitri, he practiced for 3 days like that, then he got married. Because technically, for the Dwijas, if they don't get Upanayanam, they don't get married. Because it's, it, you know, it's marriage is the last of this, of this, except for death, of course, then that's another thing. But, you know what I'm saying? For them themselves, then after that, the other samskars are for their children. Right, so themselves personally, they would have gotten the Savitri, then the marriage. So, cultured families, they won't marry someone who hasn't had the Savitri. Right, so then it has to be there. So if he's older, then at least 3 days is there, and then right after that, he may be getting married, you know, or engaged or something, you know. But the point is he's not going to practice. He'll be just be at home and doing home stuff. And then the others, then at least he's done it for a year, so then he may there go to a school, go somewhere like this and that, and then he'll come back. And then there's the ones that go for the actual proper time, but there's different links there, depending upon how much they want out of the education. But the Vedic thing, I think, is 4 years is like the minimum. You know, some may do 4 or 5, like there's different things like that. 12 would be your standard. And then, so it just depends upon how much. But the point is for all these upagravanas, they will have done this time as a brahmachari before getting married. Because if they take it up after getting married, it may not be appreciated.
And summarize, brahmachari start after initiation, according to what it is saying.
Yes.
But that's not our initiation.
No, that's the Vedic. That's Upanayanam. It's not the Pancharatrik. Pancharatrik is a different thing. It's in a different... This is the Vedic. Means to study the Vedic mantras, then technically you need Upanayanam.
Yes.
Like that. To be able to study them so you can use them and all that kind of thing. But that's the advantage of the Purana. That doesn't have this limitation. You can study them and learn, like you can memorize Gita shlokas when you're, you know, 3. It's not a problem. Like that. So I remember one devotee was telling me in their family tradition, he was talking to me in 82. So you can see the context, you know, like that. I'm saying, yeah. So then he said that in their community, then, you know, they go to Gurukul at 5, so before that they would memorize the Amar Kosh, which I can't remember, but I think it's like 1200 verses or something, or more, 2000 verses. So it contains 10,000 Sanskrit words, so they have a vocabulary of 10,000 words. So when they join, and they also at home speak Sanskrit, so when you go to the Gurukul, you already have a good vocabulary, you can speak Sanskrit, and you know the vocabulary. And there's a good chance you already learned how to write, you know, Devanagari, and read Devanagari, and, you know, some mathematics, because these are considered ordinary stuff. Anybody can learn it. But studying the Veda, that you can only do after Upanayanam. So then they get Upanayanam, go to the Gurukul, and then they would study the Veda. You know, and continue these others and refine them and all that. But so that would be your traditional, like that. Does that make sense? So basically, what does that mean? It means when they're conceived, they're already human, like that. And so then from there, then by the association, they take up. And so then you can see they can do it. 5, they can do all kinds of stuff. You know, it's just like that one with goat, Jabala. Satyakama? Jabala? So he comes, he wants to join the Gurukul. So then Gotama asks him, okay, so what's your gotra? He says, I don't know. I'll go ask my mother. So he goes and he asks his mother. He says, you know, what's my gotra? She says, I wouldn't have any idea like that. I mean, a general idea, maybe, but I don't know because so many men come every night, I just don't know. Like that. So then he went back to Gotama and told him. Says, I asked my mother. She says, she doesn't know because she can't identify who would be the father. You know, like that. So then Gotama said, you're a Brahmin. Because he says none of the other Varnas would say that. You know, Kshatriyas, it's not prestigious. Vaishyas wouldn't say it because maybe I won't get in. You know, like that, you know. Shudras aren't about to say that, stuff like that. But he says, you're a Brahmin because you came and just said, I don't know. So, yeah. Yes. Okay, yes. Out of these, the first three are Upakurvana, which means the brahmachari can marry later, after the brahmachari period is over, right? So once it's finished, then later, whatever it is, according to the community, whatever is the age, all these things like that. Mm-hmm. So if they are doing the savitri at 12 or something, mm-hmm. or 10, then, you know, they may get married later, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12, you know, whatever it is. But they've gone through it and that. It's always after. The Naistika Brahmachari, however, is completely reluctant to have any sex life. Therefore, the Kumaras and Narada are known as Naistika Brahmacharis, right? Because they don't want to be involved in the whole process at all. Right? Like you see, bachelors, they don't mind the sex part, but they don't like everything else that goes with it. So that's why he says any sex life. Because all of it's all for, you know, that purpose. All these different things are there, that all this is going on. Right? Therefore, the Kumaras and Narada are known as Naistika Brahmacharis. Such Brahmacharis are called Viravrata, because their vow of celibacy is as heroic as the vows of the Kshatriyas. The Brahmachari system of life is especially advantageous in that it increases the power of memory and determination. It is specifically mentioned in this connection that because Narada was a Naistika Brahmachari, he could remember whatever he heard from his spiritual master and would never forget it. One who can remember everything perpetually is called a Shruti Dhara. Right? So whatever they've heard, then they catch. They don't. The Shruti Dhara Brahmachari can repeat verbatim all that he has heard without notes and without reference to books. So it makes it a whole lot easier. They just hear and they know. And you don't have to repeat, right? So that means that they can also study very quickly. They go through. So then they can study all. So we see like with Narad Muni, what he studied, all the Vedas, all the different scriptures, everything. While others will just study a certain part or this or that, but because of this, they can study everything. The great sage Narada has this qualification, and therefore, having taken instructions from Narayana Rishi, he's engaged in propagating the philosophy of devotional service all over the world. Because such great sages can remember everything, they are thoughtful, self-realized, and completely fixed in the service of the Lord. So this brings up another point of thoughtfulness, the manana. So that means you actually have to remember. So one of the problems why manana doesn't happen is we don't remember. You know, that gives a key to the practicalness of manana. Thus the great sage Narada, after hearing from his spiritual master, Narayana Rishi, became completely realized. He became established in the truth, and he became so happy that he offered prayers to Narayana Rishi. Narad Muni addressed Narayana Rishi as an incarnation of Krishna, and specifically addressed him as the supreme well-wisher of the conditioned souls. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna descends in every millennium just to give protection to his devotees and to annihilate the non-devotees. Narayana Rishi, being an incarnation of Krishna, is also addressed as the well-wisher of the conditioned souls. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, everyone should know that there is no well-wisher like Krishna. Everyone should understand that Lord Krishna is the supreme well-wisher of everyone and should take shelter of him. In this way, one can become completely confident and satisfied, knowing that he has someone who is able to give him all protection. Right? Because this confidence and satisfaction comes because of the position of protection. So when you take shelter of the Lord, then you have that full confidence and satisfaction. Because if it's all about him, then you're not interested in the material. You don't have faith in the material. You do your duties, you work within it, but it's actually never going to give real satisfaction and real confidence. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's just the way it works. The material world is not, there are better places to be. Yeah.
So Maharaj, if we don't take shelter of Krishna, if we take shelter of something else, we have confidence and satisfaction in something else.
Yes, you'll only get how much confidence and satisfaction you can get from that.
Yes.
So in other words, like let's say you're running a race. How confident and satisfied can you be if this race is being run on top of banana peels? It's just at any moment it can go. You can't guarantee. You work hard means family. You can't guarantee he's going to be there, right? You can't guarantee your money will be there, your home will be there, your position will be there, anything. So means there is some satisfaction and confidence when you gain, but actually it can't be so much because at any moment it could go.
And it is mainly in the mind.
Yeah, that's all there. But now Krishna, when you come to this point that he's the supreme well-wisher, he's always there, he's not going away.
Yes.
Right, because even we saw before when we were talking about Paramatma, mm-hmm. on how he'll deal with all living entities as Paramatma, with the devotees, then he'll deal, he's there as Paramatma, but he'll deal personally. So therefore that's where he finds that attachment. He's attached to that interaction. But it's not that he goes away. There's never that. So you can have that confidence and satisfaction that he's always there. Everything in connection with him will bring about, will work out. In the long run.
Yes.
So that's the point. Yeah. So if we always remember that, then we'll be thoughtful, then we can try to apply that. So that's manana, as we're remembering these instructions, we're trying to apply them.
Regarding the previous point of the samskaras, like you're telling, those who are already adult, they go through savita.
They may go through before also. I'm just giving more of a context on what we're working in. But many times the contemporary Brahmin families, when the kids, whatever is their tradition, then at that time they have the ceremony, and then for however long they go, 3 days is like that, and then after that they're just part. They do all the family stuff as regular. But otherwise, during that time, they won't be taking part in all the family stuff. They'll just be doing their whatever it is that their duties are. Yes.
Generally, Vaishyas do that most.
Okay. Okay. Because you would expect the others would do it a bit more. It's just like you see Arjuna and all of them. They went and stayed for a time with Dronacharya. It wasn't the whole time they were before marriage. There was so much time before that they weren't in his ashram. Then then they graduated, and then they're also still there. Right, so then probably like that, but then finishing their education, that would be specifically Brahmins would do it, but everybody could go and do that. But you might see if they're not living such you just have a wide range, right? So in other words, it would be Vaishyas may generally follow Savitra, but they could also do the other two. Right? Kshatriyas would generally do the, what was the second one? Prajapatya, but they could also do the other two. And Brahmas would generally do the Brahma, but they could also do the other two. So, it just is how it's practiced, what you see is the tradition.
Currently, when we preach, we people are already grown up. So, after they become fixed up in devotional service, which samskaras they can go through with samskaras so that they become more stabilized?
Means is by chanting Hare Krishna and all that, that's what makes them stabilized. These other ones just help.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That. It's not the main point. Okay. Like that. So that's why then, because of chanting, then the adults then can get the the Gayatri in that, right? The Savitri, because of the Pancharatrik system. Right? Because by the Vedic system, if they're already adults, there's a good chance they're already disqualified. You can't get it later. But in the Pancharatrik, it's not based on the body, it's based on your surrender to the Lord. So because of chanting, we can follow the Pancharatrik system. Because of the effect of the Pancharatrik, we're able to follow the Vedic. Right, even though the Vedic is lower, because it means more material qualification. Pancharatra doesn't really require material qualification. But one's conditioned. Well, the Bhagavat is free from all that. So someone can be transcendental and follow that. But if you're not transcendental, you practice the Bhagavat, but you're situated in Pancharatra. And if you're not devotional, then you'd just be situated in Vedic. So, all good. Sri Narada said, I offer my obeisances to him of spotless fame, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who manifests his all-attractive personal expansions so that all living beings can achieve liberation. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, Narada offers respect to Narayana Rishi while thinking of Krishna with his special glories. Though Narayana is present, Narada addresses him in the third person out of great respect. Or by offering respects to Krishna, respects to Narayan are accomplished. Narayan is satisfied. Right? The point is, the Lord's satisfied. Mm-hmm. So it's either due to respectfulness, you know, he's saying in this way, or it's that he's addressing Krishna, but then Krishna in the form of Narayana Rishi. Mm-hmm. You know, so either way, the Lord is satisfied. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after saying this, Narada bowed down to Sri Narayana Rishi, the foremost of sages, and also to his saintly disciples. He then returned to the hermitage of my father, Dwaipayan of Vyas. Vyasadev, the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, respectfully greeted Narada Muni and offered him a seat, which he accepted. Narada then described to Vyas what he had heard from the mouth of Sri Narayana Rishi. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, Narada Muni, after offering respects to Narayana Rishi, went to the ashram of Vyasadeva, his disciple. Being properly received by Vyasa in his ashram and seated very comfortably, Narada Muni narrated the entire story of what he had heard from Narayana Rishi. In this way, Sukadeva Goswami informed Maharaj Parikit of the answers to his questions regarding the essence of Vedic knowledge and what is constituted to be the ultimate goal in the Vedas. The supreme goal of life is to achieve the transcendental blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Right? So that's then what one's trying to do. That's what the Vedas are explaining. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, thus I have replied to the question you asked me, O King, concerning how the mind can have access to the absolute truth, which is indescribable by material words and devoid of material qualities. He is the Lord who eternally watches over this universe and who exists before, during, and after its manifestation. He is the master of both the unmanifest material energy and the spirit soul. After sending forth the creation, he enters within it, accompanying each living entity. There he creates the material bodies and then remains as their regulator. By surrendering to him, one can escape the embrace of illusion. Just as a dreaming person forgets his own body, one who wants liberation from fear should constantly meditate upon him, Lord Hari, who is always on the platform of perfection and thus never subject to material birth. Right? Yes. Srila Prabhupada gives the following summary in Krishna Book. The Vedic literature is divided into two parts, the Shrutis and the Smritis. The Shrutis are the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Atharva, and Yajur. And the Upanishads and the Smritis are the Puranas and the Itihasas, like the Mahabharata, which includes the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of all these is that one should know Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Parama Purusha, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose superintendence material nature works. For creation, maintenance, and annihilation, the Supreme Lord incarnates into three: Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. After manifesting the material cosmos, all of these take charge of the three modes of material nature. But the ultimate direction is in the hand of Lord Vishnu. The complete activities of material nature under the three modes are conducted under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayad Yakshena, Bhagavad Gita 9.10, and in the Vedas, Sa-Aikshata. The atheistic, Shankyite philosophers will, of course, offer their arguments that the material cosmic manifestation is due to Prakriti and Purusha, material nature and the living entity, right? So they're taking, because it says Prakriti and Purusha, but they take Purusha as the living entity, right? And if it's them, then naturally Prakriti is the origin of all that. So that's why they'll get stuck on that, because it's Prakriti and Purusha, and they're the Purusha. And then Brahman is beyond that, so they don't count Brahman as the Purusha, right? Because they say there's defects that were there. So then they have their own idea. So that's why we always wonder, why do they stick to this point? Because they're in their mind, they're following Shastra. They don't understand Purusha means the Lord. And then, for the details of what's going to manifest when, according to the desire of the living entity, that's the Purusha, meaning the living entity. Yes. You know what body you get, what family, where you end up. Yes. That's that.
When you see the five things, Chit, Achit, Ishwar, Sadhyam, Sadhana, they don't have the Ishwar at all. That's the reason.
Other than themselves, but they don't consider there. Yes. Like that. They'll only consider Ishwara in the Sadhya. Right?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur.